Have you ever collected toad eggs and hatched tadpoles? Or watched baby ladybugs hatching from eggs? That's what my family has been doing this week. It's the perfect season for nature study, and we invite you to join us for Magnify, a wild and wonderful summer adventure by Nat Theo. Discover God's creation right where you live as you find frogs, butterflies, animal tracks, birds, and so much more. Become a junior naturalist for God's kingdom. Join today at nattheo.com/magnify to access the full summer guide and tune in for live video classes where you will learn from me and share your discoveries with other students. Don't wait. Join today, start exploring, and get ready for our live video classes in Magnify at nattheo.com/magnify or the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. This month, we are discovering how God set the stage for life. We have learned how he created light and all of the colors, and how he created water and put water in the air, on the ground, and under the ground. Today, we are exploring another very important way that God set the stage for creatures and us to live. He made something all of us need: plants. Maybe you enjoy climbing trees, or having a vase of fresh-cut flowers on the table, or enjoying a sweet strawberry or chocolate after dinner. All of those things are possible because of plants. And plants are not only enjoyable, we need them to live. So let's dive into how and why God made plants. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We will discover, how does water, light, and air build plants? How is fruit made? Why is earth full of plants? And how can we grow good fruit? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who help make this lesson possible, including CTC Math. If you are a parent who feels a little nervous about choosing another math program, I get it. We have been there, switching curriculum and wondering if anything will actually stick. What finally gave me peace of mind with CTC Math is how confident they are in their program. Their online lessons are clear, concise, and designed for mastery. And they give families a full 12-month, no questions asked, money-back guarantee. We never even considered asking for our money back because CTC Math has worked so well for our family. Add to that a free trial so you can see the lessons for yourself. And it really is a risk-free way to try a new path forward. As my kids grow in math, they are better equipped to explore God's patterns in nature, from branching rivers to starry skies. Start your free trial today at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. Today, we are learning how and why God made plants. You can dive deeper into God's masterful designs in plants with Apologia's Exploring Creation with Botany course for grades K through 6. Exploring Creation with Botany invites you into the wild and wonderful world of plants from a biblical worldview. Lessons are fun, engaging, and hands-on. Dig your fingers into the soil through 75 fun activities, including building and harvesting a raised garden, making a tree field guide, building a light hut, and growing edible mushrooms. Each activity helps students see God's fingerprints throughout plants and how he masterfully designed them to help creatures and us. grow in plant knowledge and faith with Apologia's Exploring Creation with Botany course and all of their award-winning science courses from a biblical worldview at apologia.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. How many kinds of plants growing on the land are there in the world? A, around 12,000. B, around 39,000. C, around 120,000. Or D, around 435,000. Again, how many kinds of plants growing on the land are there in the world? A, around 12,000. B, around 39,000. C, around 120,000. Or D, around 435,000. Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, click over to the bonus video. We will discover why some plants only grow for 1 year, while other plants grow for 2 years, and some plants grow back year after year. We will also learn about a common plant that is sometimes called the toilet paper plant. Find the link to that bonus video in your Nat Theo Club dashboard or at the link in our show notes. All right, let's hit the trail.
Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Genesis 1:11-13.
2 weeks ago, we looked at when God said, "Let there be light." Last week, we looked at how God put water in the sky, on the ground, and under the ground. As God was creating these things, light and water, He had a wonderful plan in mind. He was getting the earth ready for plants. He was creating what plants need: light, water, and air. And as we will discover next week, He also created the sun right after that as a great light to grow the plants. But why are plants so important that God created them even before creatures and humans? Without plants, nothing could live. Listen to Psalm 104:14. "You make the grass for cattle and vegetables for the people. You make food grow from the earth." Plants provide food through fruits, vegetables, herbs, grains, and starches. Genesis 1:29 says, "Then God said, 'I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food.'" Plants don't only feed us. They also feed animals that we eat, like chickens or cows for beef. Plants feed animals that give us milk, which we drink or use to make butter or cheese, and eggs. Without plants, those animals could not live, and we would not have those tasty, nutritious foods. Plants are also used for medicine and building materials, and without trees, we would have no wood or paper. So, plants have been necessary for life from the beginning of time and have given us foods and materials to help humans progress, build, invent, and grow as societies. But how do light, water, and air make a plant grow? How does a plant turn something that we cannot hold, like light or air, into something like a smooth stem, rough bark, silky flower petal, or crunchy apple? It might seem like a magic trick, turning invisible air into a sweet pineapple with rough, scaly skin. But it is not magic. It is all science that God created as He set the stage for life. A plant grows through a process called photosynthesis. Put simply, photosynthesis is a process controlled by light that puts things in a plant together to turn them into energy. But let's zoom in closer to see what is actually going on inside of a plant during photosynthesis. Have you ever seen someone feeding a cheeseburger to a tree? Or taking a sandwich to a sunflower? No, of course not. A plant needs to make its own food. First, it soaks up water through its roots underground. The roots are kind of like straws, slurping up water from the soil. So water is one ingredient a plant needs to make its food. But have you ever wondered what a plant actually does with that water? Water itself is made from two ingredients. Do you know what they are? Water is made from oxygen and hydrogen. Those are two tiny little things that we cannot even see, but they are the ingredients of water. The plant splits apart water into its simpler ingredients so it can use them to make its own food. Imagine you are baking a delicious cake and you're mixing together the batter. You add flour, sugar, baking powder or soda, water, oil, and eggs. You mix it all together until it's smooth, wet batter. Now, do you think you could unmix and separate those ingredients? Could you get back your dry flour and put the eggs back in their shells? Of course you couldn't. That would be impossible. But this is kind of like what a plant does with water. A plant needs to separate the water's ingredients. But how does it do that? A plant soaks in sunlight like a sponge. It does this through something called chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is what makes a plant green and allows it to soak in sunlight. As the plant soaks in sunlight, it can then use the sunlight's energy to mix up its own food. But what ingredients is it mixing up? It uses hydrogen from the water molecules and also mixes in something called carbon dioxide that it gets from the air. Carbon dioxide is a gas that we breathe out. It is in the air around us, but too much of it can be dangerous and even deadly. Too much carbon dioxide is not good for us humans, but plants need it. It is one of the ingredients that they need to make their own food. So, where can they get the carbon dioxide? From the air around them. Plants have tiny holes or slits in their leaves called stomata. Those stomata holes are like little tiny doors, which the plant uses to bring in air so it can get carbon dioxide. So, what does all of this mean? A plant gets the ingredients it needs from water and air, and then sunlight helps it mix these things together so a plant can make sugars, which is its food. But listen to this. After all of that mixing up of ingredients, there is leftover oxygen that the plant does not need. What do you think the plant does with the leftover oxygen? It lets it out as clean air that we can breathe. Through those same stomata holes, the plant lets out clean oxygen. When God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation," He made this incredible design with leftover oxygen so plants can give us clean air that we need to breathe and live. So as the plant makes food, it removes harmful carbon dioxide from the air and gives us clean oxygen so we can breathe. Through this process of photosynthesis, plants grow so we can use them as food and for medicine and for building materials. And so we can have clean air. You know, I said earlier that a plant makes its own food, which is true. But really, when we think about it, God is feeding all of the plants through this incredible process of photosynthesis that He set up at the beginning of time. God gave plants light, water, and air, and the instructions in their DNA to turn those ingredients into food so they can grow. When God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation," He set up this entire detailed process to make sure that creatures and us have the plants that we need and that we have clean air to breathe. We saw how plants grow, but how do plants grow more plants? When God created the first plants, He made sure that they have ways of growing more baby plants so that the earth can be full of beautiful, tasty, and helpful plants. I'm going to read our passage from Genesis 1 again, and I want you to play a game of counting as I read. Count how many times I say the word seed and how many times I say the word fruit. Are you ready? Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Did you count how many times I said seeds or fruit? This passage is only 3 verses long, but it mentions seeds 4 times and fruit 2x. Seeds and fruit are very important for plants, but how do they make new plants? Do you have a favorite kind of fruit? I love raspberries. I do enjoy them from the store, but my favorite ones are the wild raspberries I find in the summer while my family is out hiking. Fruit is sweet and tasty. And this reminds me of a great question sent in from one of our listeners.
Hello, my name is Lila, and I'm 6 years old, and I live in Manitoba, Canada. And I want to know how saxatoon berries get so sweet.
Lila wants to know, how do saxatoon berries get so sweet? You know, Lila, I have never had the chance to enjoy a saxatoon berry, but I do enjoy snacking on wild raspberries and other berries. Saxatoon berries are a type of service berry. Berries can be very sweet, but how do they get sweet? They don't begin that way. Berries often begin hard and bitter or tart or acidic. How do they turn sweet and juicy? It all happens through that photosynthesis process that we are learning about. Do you remember what food a plant makes for itself? It makes sugars, and it sends a lot of those sugars into its berry. As a berry ripens, special enzymes break down things like starches and acids, making berries softer and sweeter and ready for us to enjoy. It is all God's design for making tasty fruit for us to eat and that animals enjoy and later poop out, spreading the seeds for more berry plants to grow. You see, we often think about fruit as something we just enjoy eating, but fruit is a seed package. So what came first, the fruit or the seed? Have you ever heard someone ask, what came first? The chicken or the egg? It makes sense that God created chickens and made them able to lay eggs so more chickens can hatch. The same is true with plants. God created plants and designed them to be able to make fruits with seeds so more plants of the same kinds can grow. Deep inside a flower on a plant is a little room called an ovary. The plant ovary is where seeds are made. Inside the ovary are tiny things called ovules. An ovule is a tiny part that holds the egg cell, and it has half the instructions to make a new plant. When pollen reaches it, that pollen brings the other half of the instructions. They join, and now with all the instructions, the ovule turns into a seed. After this happens, the ovary, that little room or that space way deep down in a flower where the seeds are made, that becomes a fruit. Inside the fruit are seeds. Sometimes a piece of fruit has many, many seeds, like a strawberry. But some types of fruit only have one big seed inside, like an avocado or a peach or a cherry. Those seeds have the potential to grow new plants of the same kind. Which brings us to the next stop on our trail map. Why is Earth filled with plants? God always meant the Earth to be full of beautiful, tasty, helpful plants. Seeds and fruits with seeds inside them are a main way that God designed plants to spread and grow more. But seeds cannot walk, and it doesn't work well if they just fall to the ground and try to grow next to their parent plant. There are not enough resources, and the plants would get weak and die. The best design is for seeds to be spread to new areas, and God created different ways for seeds to spread. When a seed travels, it is called seed dispersal. Seed dispersal means how seeds move away from the parent plant to grow in a new place. Seeds can be dispersed or moved around by animals, wind, and water. Remember that God created tasty plants for humans and animals. When many animals eat fruits with seeds in them, they later expel that fruit or poop it out somewhere else. The seeds are left in a new spot and can grow a new plant in that area. Animals have a very important job of spreading seeds. I see this a lot in late summer and in the fall when my family finds bear scat or bear poop up in the mountains or even in our own neighborhood. Bears eat lots and lots of wild berries and fruits in the woods. And they also chow down on my neighbor's apple tree. We find piles of bear scat full of fruit seeds. Some seeds grow in fruits that are not so tasty, like milkweed plants. Milkweed seeds are inside a fruit called a pod. It doesn't look like a tasty apple or orange. Instead, it is a green pod with seeds tucked inside. An animal is not going to come along and chow down on an unappetizing milkweed pod. So instead, God designed the pod to pop open as it gets dried out in the fall. I saw this recently while I was guiding a hike. The kids and I stopped when we saw a dry milkweed pod that had cracked open. I pressed each side of the pod to further open it. The milkweed pod was about as long as my finger, but inside of it was tucked around 200 seeds. Each tiny brown seed was attached to a strand of white silk. The silk acts kind of like a little parachute. It catches on the breeze or wind and gets carried away to a new area where more milkweed can then grow. God designed many types of seeds with silk and other things to catch on the wind and be carried to new places. Seeds can also be carried in fruit on water, like with coconuts, or spread as they stick to an animal's fur or a hiker's shoe. Some plants don't even make seeds inside a fruit. God is very creative. He made many different types of designs. Some plants, like pine trees, have seeds inside of pine cones. And plants like ferns and moss, they don't even have seeds. Instead, they make more plants through tiny things called spores, kind of like mushrooms do. And mushrooms are not even a plant. When God said, "Let the land produce vegetation," He engineered seeds and spores inside of plants with different ways to spread so the earth can be full of plants. The Bible has a lot to say about fruit. We already looked at a few passages about God growing plants. And we know plants grow fruit with seeds in them. And those seeds spread so more plants can grow. But God also uses fruit as a picture to teach us something important. He says that we should produce fruit. Of course, we are not growing apples from our arms like an apple tree does from branches. Instead, God uses the picture of fruit to teach us to do and make good things in our lives. In the book of Colossians in the Bible, The Apostle Paul, a man who shared the good news of Jesus, wrote a letter to a church of believers. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. See if you can spot the word fruit in this passage. Because of this, since the day we heard about you, we have continued praying for you, asking God that you will know fully what He wants. We pray that you will also have great wisdom and understanding in spiritual things, so that you will live the kind of life that honors and pleases the Lord in every way. You will produce fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God. Did you hear the word fruit? Right at the end, the Apostle Paul said, "You will produce fruit in every good work and grow in the knowledge of God." Just as plants make fruit that is beautiful, useful, and necessary for life, God wants to produce fruit in our lives that brings beauty and life to others. What might that fruit look like? It might be saying something kind and encouraging to someone, or sharing the truth and love of God, or doing something kind to serve someone else, or helping someone in need, or smiling and bringing joy to others. And do you remember what is inside of fruit? Seeds. Listener, when we produce good fruit through our words, attitudes, and actions, we are spreading seeds of goodness and truth for more life to grow. Most importantly, we are spreading seeds for the gospel, or the good news of Jesus. Paul talked about this in his letter also. Listen to Colossians 1:6. "This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace." Listeners, this is exactly why I teach Nat Theo. I am so grateful for the hope that I have in Jesus, that He has saved me from the punishment of sins and given me new, eternal life with God. I cannot keep that to myself. Just as God never meant for all the seeds to stay wrapped up tight in a plant, but instead to spread and grow, God wants us to scatter seeds of the gospel and fill the world with His life as we share His truth and love with those around us. It's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. Today's listener question is made possible by the Compelled podcast. Whenever I hear a story of God working in someone's life, I am reminded of how big, amazing, and loving our God is. That is what the Compelled podcast is all about, sharing powerful stories and testimonies in the lives of believers. I love listening to the Compelled podcast in the morning, so I begin my day reminded that God is active and at work in the lives of His children, including my own life. The Compelled podcast uses gripping storytelling, sound design, and real interviews to share how God is transforming Christians all around the world. This podcast shares hard but powerful real life stories. So parents, preview episodes and decide which stories are suitable for your kids. Let the stories on the Compelled podcast be great conversation starters as you listen together at compelledpodcast.com. Here is today's listener question.
Hi, Miss Erin. My name is Hammy, and I am 6 and a half decades old. And I want to know, why do some birds migrate and some do not? Thank you.
That's a great question, Hammy. Many birds migrate in the fall before winter hits. Migratory birds eat foods like flying insects and fruit, so they have to travel to where it is warmer to find their favorite meals. The birds that don't migrate feast on foods that are still available during winter, including some kinds of seeds. Some birds also migrate in the winter to find nesting places. God gave special features to the birds that stick around in the cold. Birds produce a special oil from a gland near their tails, and some coat their feathers with this oil to protect against the weather. Other birds might huddle up together in trees or bushes to share body heat. Some birds, including chickadees and kinglets, have the ability to lower their internal body temperatures to save energy. This is called regulated hypothermia. God created each bird with the tools that they need to survive the cold winter months, even if they don't travel away to warmer places. If you want to learn more about bird migration, you can listen to Lesson 5, Why and How Do Birds Migrate? Thanks for your great question, Hammy. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And Nat Geo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video to discover why some plants grow for only 1 year, others for 2 years, and why some plants grow back year after year, and discover a common plant that is often called the toilet paper plant. Find a link to that bonus video in your Nat Geo Club dashboard or the link in our show notes. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. How many kinds of plants growing on the land are there in the world? A, around 12,000, B, around 39,000, C, around 120,000, or D, around 435,000? The answer is D, around 435,000. 35 scientists from around the world spent around 10 years gathering information about plants. They collected 20 million notes and sightings of land plants to make the largest plant database ever. The scientists found about 435,000 kinds of land plants on Earth, although many of them, around 36.5%, are very rare. Listener, 435,000 types of land plants. And that is only the ones that people have discovered and that have not gone extinct. God's creativity and wisdom are on display in the incredible plants that He made. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find a plant that you don't know the name of. If you live in a place where it's wintertime, you can still do this. Look for pine trees and use the bark on a tree or find dried seed pods. Look for hints as to what the plant might be and use a plant field guide from the library or with permission an app like iNaturalist to help you identify the plant and learn its name. Can you learn if it grows fruit or how it spreads its seeds? As you learn, think about the ways that God specially designed that plant to help creatures and people. If it grows leaves, think about how it helps clean the air around us. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on plants, please take a moment to send it to a friend. And tune in next week as we finish up our series on how God set the stage for life when He created the sun. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review Nat Geo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all alone.